And now I'm going over to opponents.
Good evening. I'm Chris Coffin. I'm here representing myself as a citizen today, not the department. But as you can see, I do work for the Maine Correctional Center. And I have for the last 8 years. I did pass out a... there were notes for myself. I wasn't completely familiar with your process, so when I made a few notes for myself today, I got here and realized that I needed to give you guys some copies, so I did that. But I am familiar with corrections and how things actually operate in there, and I've heard a number of things today that may not even be included in here. And I see one of these things where, you know, they've perhaps segregation, or as it's been called, the solitary confinement, which I see two very different things, is creating a sort of mental illness or exacerbating a mental illness, and that we don't want to put people with mental illness in segregation units. And I would ask, you know, what do we do with people who are demonstrating imminent threats to themselves or others in order to keep them safe? And that's been a recurring theme today. So I'm not going to extend this, obviously. I'm just going to stick to my notes and rather answer any questions that you have for me. I do have many areas that I could speak about on this bill. I could discuss the term solitary confinement, which I actually don't see in the bill, but it has been presented to the public, and how, to me, that term creates a perception that contrasts greatly with the reality of special management units in terms of both the image and practice. But I'd rather, and again, this committee's been there, but invite people to spend time in the unit to see what it really is and the access that prisoners have to staff, mental health, medical, and other services. I could discuss the section on limitation of confinement rights to a hearing, only to point out that policies actually are in place and are followed that ensure regular reviews, hearings, and appeals if needed in terms of the ADSEG process. I'd be happy to explain the ADSEG process and the criteria for putting someone on ADSEG status if you'd like me to do that. But again, I'm sure the corrections policies, which have been accredited twice and which likely comport with best practices nationwide, have been made available to you. And I don't imagine we would want to abandon nationally accepted best practices for the management of prisons. I could discuss the section prohibiting corporal punishment, but again, I'm sure you're aware that hasn't been an acceptable practice in corrections for a very long time. I'd rather take the remainder of my time to discuss my views on why we use restraints. And again, I've kind of been told today that restraints, that piece in there, has been amended, perhaps even taken out. But as I had read the bill, it said the bill prohibits the use of essentially all forms of restraint on special management prisoners. And one word summarizes our use of restraints. That word is safety. The safety of the public is there first and foremost. The safety of the visitors, safety of the staff, and safety of the prisoners. Prisoners have been placed in special management units because they meet specified criteria, including posing a threat to security, a threat to the safety of others, and a threat to their own safety. Based on this threat, restraints are routinely used for special management prisoners taken outside of the unit. The prisoner may be meeting with staff or could even be taken to an appointment in the community. The restraints are in place to reduce the risk to everyone I mentioned above. The bill discusses forcible extraction from a prisoner's cell and the use of chemical agents. So I went on here to kind of explain forcible extraction, and that would have been reinforced by earlier statements made by Captain Welch and Sergeant Green, that basically the use of restraints and chemical agents during this process are again used to reduce risk to everyone's safety, except in cases where the prisoner is an imminent risk. When we talked about the emergency use of force and having to enter a cell, he's afforded numerous opportunities to comply with instructions, allow himself to be placed in handcuffs before staff ever resort to an extraction. A video camera is used, and the prisoner is given final opportunity to comply and cautioned, warned that the chemical agents will be introduced into the unit. If he doesn't comply, we use pepper spray, But that's great into the cell to give the staff an advantage in the situation, making it safer for staff to enter a cell and place the prisoner in restraints, because a prisoner who's not able to fight poses less of a risk to staff who are doing their jobs to secure him, and thus makes it safer for the prisoner as well. Staff enter the cell, and this is in a planned and organized way where everybody has a part in terms of, you know, left arm, right arm, to try to quickly secure and safely secure. The prisoner is then immediately removed away from the area and away from the area where chemical agents remain airborne. He's replaced in the restraint chair, which in conversation with someone today, I actually kind of just described the chair for him. Essentially, the prisoner would be positioned in a naturally seated position with straps to keep him in place. We've all sat here a long time today, and while it may be a little uncomfortable, I would say prisoners tend to sit in the chair a whole lot longer rather a whole lot less than what we've sat today. Once he's placed in that chair, he's immediately checked by medical staff who ensure the restraints and the chair are not causing him harm. The chair ensures that it's safe for medical staff to treat the prisoner for exposure to pepper spray and for any injuries he may have caused himself. A staff member will stay with the prisoner at all times, and again, this whole thing is being videotaped. The prisoner is removed from the restraint chair as soon as it's safe to do so. Any extensions requested by the observing staff and the observing supervisor must be reviewed and authorized by a higher authority. As needed, a staff member will stay by the prisoner's cell for as long as necessary to ensure the prisoner's safety. Moving on, prisoners who have just committed a violent act are also restrained. This reduces the risk that the prisoner will continue to commit acts of violence before he's calmed down and the moment has passed, and the restraints are removed after that. Prisoners who have just harmed themselves, usually with a weapon of some kind, such as a razor blade, are also placed in restraints. Once again, this is just long enough to ensure everyone is kept safe, including the medical staff responding to treat him, the mental health staff coming to speak with him, and the prisoner himself, until the imminent threat to safety has passed and the area can be made, once again, safe for him. If this bill passes, it will significantly increase the risk to the safety of our staff and prisoners and likely result in a greater risk to visitors and the public. I do not support the passing of this bill, and I recommend the committee take a closer look at what is actually practiced before passing any revision of this bill or any new bill that might address this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this time? Mr. Sykes?
Thank you, Representative Haskell. Officer Coffin, if you have are you aware of any situation where a corrections officer has been disciplined for not following Department of Correction policy?
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity to participate in any type of a policy review where you can impact or make suggestions?
Yes.
Thank you.
President Clark?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Coffin, this is a great testimony. It gave us a lot of information. One thing that I didn't hear in here was if you do work or have worked in the special management unit.
I have. As an officer, I worked in that unit during the earlier part of my time at MCC, and as a supervisor, I did work the night shift in that unit for a year before going to days today, and since then, I've worked in our Unit 1, and if you've been to the facility, you might recall the Correctional Recovery Academy, the security building, and dorms 1 and 2, which house our whole program. And so I'm in a pretty heavily treatment area. And as a side note, it's talking about taking people down to special management units out of, these general pop units that I work in. And it's often, the treatment staff asking for their removal based on exhausting some treatment options at the time. And I'm always urging it as a last resort. As you know, we only have 17 seg beds for roughly 500 male prisoners.
Thank you, Officer Coffin. Seeing no further questions, we appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition